Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. All right, guys, thank you for joining us again today for another episode. I am super excited to be bringing on Margaret Watts Romney. She's the founder and CEO of Master Speaker Lab, and I've had the pleasure of spending some time with her on multiple occasions, kind of over tacos and beer, maybe.
Coffee, all the good things.
We've done all the things almost, right? but getting to know who you are really, and just kind of the connection that we had from the get-go. And I am really honored and excited to have this interview opportunity with you. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and chat more with you.
Yes. So tell me, let's start with the easy stuff. What is Master Speaker Lab? And tell me from Master Speaker Lab, how you evolved into that business, because I know that's not the first business you've created.
This is true. So Master Speaker Lab is a place where good speakers come to become great speakers. And we have a number of offerings between online courses or workshops for organizations or one-on-one coaching.
Nice.
Yeah. And kind of what the idea behind it is that speaking is a skill none of us can afford to not have these days. Between how important video is and how much impact we can have when we're in front of a crowd, this is a skill we really need to be comfortable with. We need to know our message. We need to know how to connect with an audience. And we need to know what outcome we want. And it, especially with how much our attention is grabbed by screens these days, if somebody is in standing in front of an audience and telling a great story, nobody is swiping left.
Right.
And you have 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes of undivided attention if you can really connect with that audience. How powerful is that? I mean, when do you ever watch a 40-minute video on Facebook? Never. You know, like 10 seconds of watching a video on Facebook is considered a success. So we have this other really powerful tool of speaking in front of people. And so that's what Master Speaker Lab is all about. Let's get beyond the fear. Let's figure out how you can be memorable, how you can really impact an audience with your message.
So tell me, what was that journey getting to this point of creating Master Speaker Lab? What did that look like, your first entrepreneurial run?
That's funny. Like if somebody had told me when I was 17 that I would be training people to be on stages, I would have, just walked away. Like I'm not a mean, insulting person, so I probably wouldn't have said anything mean and insulting, but at the moment, like when I was a teenager, my life was actually kind of centered on stages because I was a cellist. That was my life. That was my identity. And I was also having a really difficult time performing. I was sort of not remembering. I had huge anxiety. But I was skilled enough that I got a scholarship to college. And after 4 years of studying music performance and being just stressed and anxious, I graduated and basically quit. Like I didn't practice, I didn't play, I didn't perform, but I did love teaching. So my very first business was as a private music teacher. And how do you bring in students? How do you set up payments? How do you take care of yourself in all of that? So it was simple, but it grew to the point that my music teaching business many years later supported me and my three girls throughout their junior high and high school years. It was pretty much the sole source of income for the four of us. So that was my very first foray into being an entrepreneur. There was a number of like offshoots along the way. One of my next projects was called Salty City music lab. I like the word lab. I'm still using the word lab. And we had a gorgeous logo and a beautiful vision of bringing musicians in my city all together to learn different genres of music. And but I didn't understand the kind of time that it took. I didn't understand marketing. I didn't understand how to network. I didn't understand how to create my vision and get it out there. So it had some interest for a while, and then it folded after a couple of years. Yeah, but I learned a lot. And then So there's a big pivot point in there from working with kids and music to now working with speaking and adults. And that pivot started about 7 years ago when I realized in my cello world, I'd kind of done everything I'd wanted to do. Like, I'd gotten over my fear of performing. I brought beautiful experiences to audiences. I had students that I'd started them as preschoolers, and they went up through high level concertos. There wasn't more money. There wasn't more travel. I'm like, okay, I've got a lot of years left. What are we going to do? And so I started branching out, and somebody said, you know what? Here is a new startup, TEDx Salt Lake City. It's a nonprofit. They need everybody to do everything. And I found my way there, and they're like, how about you work with the speakers? Cause you understand the stage. I was like, oh, that sounds cool, and tried it. And there was just this magic that happened that I didn't even anticipate, because there was so much about teaching that is similar to speaking. Mm-hmm. It's about making a connection with your student, with the audience. It's about that being authentic. It's about being present. It's about understanding that you have, yes, you as a speaker have a wealth of knowledge, but the audience can only take in a small bit at a time. How do you layer those ideas? How do you bring them in with stories? How do you give examples? How do you give a gift to the audience of your knowledge? And so it was just a really great experience. And I went and sort of supplemented my knowledge with working on a master's in strategic communication at Westminster College in Salt Lake City, Utah. And then, started taking coaching clients about 4 years ago.
Mm, that's awesome. So how has this entrepreneurial journey changed you?
Ooh, that's a juicy question. I love it. So I think that being an entrepreneur, I have had to really dig deep about what is it that I want to bring to the world. And this is a funny way of wording it, but why am I worthy of giving this message? Like, I think being an entrepreneur, there's so often that you think, oh, there's so many hard moments. There's so many downtimes. There's so many like, oh, this didn't quite go the way I wanted it to. And you have to keep this vision in mind of, wait, this is what I'm bringing to the world, and I'm the one that needs to do this. And so finding that confidence, finding that voice. And so I think it's really strengthened me internally, those ways to help me feel stronger in who I am and what I'm bringing to the world.
Did you have to deal with imposter syndrome, or you mentioned, you know, the not worthiness possibility, but right. And that rolls into imposter syndrome. What was it that brought you to kind of the forefront of stepping into the power of being a woman entrepreneur?
Nice. So that imposter syndrome, I remember when I very first started thinking about going out on my own, I was looking at kind of scanning the horizon, looking competition, who else is doing this? And I would go through these websites and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could never do that. I couldn't. There's these speaking coaches who had, you know, endorsements from Chevron, and they were wearing spiky heels and pearls and looked like $1 million, and, you know, just had everything dialed in. And my thoughts were always, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. This isn't who I am. Who do I think I am to do this? And through it, there was the pivot moment was when I came to the word leadership, which pointed to something that I knew I could help people with. I knew the journey for how to start speaking up for the first time of what you wanted to see in the world. And I knew I could help people on that journey. And And I knew it would look different than the endorsements from Chevron and Pearls. I knew it would be my own thing. And when I sort of found that word and a sort of a subtler meaning of leadership, like I think in our culture, we often think of leadership as, you know, dark blue suits and shiny black shoes and somebody speaking very loudly and forcefully in front of people. And masculine. I know mask is very masculine, exactly. And I knew that whatever leadership looks like on the outside, I don't care if it looks masculine or feminine, it starts from a spark inside of, I know this is something I want to change. It comes from an internal source of control, an internal idea of who you are and what you want to say. And what then it looks like when it's out, you know, could be the dark blue suit and black shiny shoes. Sure. Or whatever, you know, could look like anything, but there is an internal spark with everyone that happens first. And I knew I could see that spark because I'd seen it in my students. I'd seen it in their light, in their eyes, when they could command attention from an audience, when they could really portray the music that they felt, or when I started working with speakers, when they landed the message that they had, that spark in their eyes, that spark inside of them that then they wanted to spread to the audience.
What do you think that difference is? You know, and obviously it's through your modality of teaching, you know, your clients in whatever facet that your business journey has taken you on. But where do you think that spark actually, you know, what is a connecting piece for them? Is it just coming through to realization that they have it, that it's internal, that it isn't a blue suit and shiny shoes? You know, what is it? Because I know each person comes to it differently, but what is it that triggers? What is it that sets in motion that shift that you've seen?
That's a great question. I think sometimes it is saying it out loud to somebody else. I'll say this. A lot of my speakers, when they come to me, they already know there's a message. They already have been lit on fire inside.
Yes.
Something either has come up against a wall and they know something needs to change, or there's a difficulty they've been through, or something that wants to grow and it's their own creativity that is so loud to them personally already.
A lifestyle shift.
Yes, that can be it.
Okay.
And then oftentimes it's the first time that, or it's in the early stages of them beginning to talk about it. It's beginning to talk about who they are and what they want to bring into the world. And so it feels very fragile. It's like that new sprout coming up out of the ground, and you can't force it or shout at it or, you know, make it grow faster. It just, you need to, you know,
right.
Whisper to it, invite it. And as I say that with a new sprout, it sounds like I'm talking about people who are very new in their entrepreneurial journey, but that's not necessarily the case. Every single time we go through a new level of development, there's parts of us that are these new sprouts. So there's some of my clients who've been doing what they've been doing for decades. But there's something new happening. There's a bigger audience that they want to reach. Even if it's they're saying the same thing they've said for years, if there's a larger audience, they have to say it in a new way, or they have to own it in a deeper sense inside themselves, what they're saying.
You see a lot of people through the work that you do in the speaking realm that end up very leadership roles, because you have to have a leadership component to go into a room and, you know, command that presence yourself. So they work towards that. Do you find there's a common denominator for what creates a leader?
I'm going to kind of say yes and no.
Okay.
On one, I'm going to say the no first, and then I'll say the yes. And the no is that a lot of people have, like we kind of touched on before, people think leadership should look like a certain thing. They think as commanding speaker should look like Tony Robbins.
Right.
And they feel some guilt and shame that they do not. And what I like to talk about with the clients who are in that rut is bring them to some psychology terms, some psychology ideas about archetypes. And Jung talked about there being, I can't remember if it's 8 or 12 sort of archetypes, and we all have different aspects of them in ourselves that come forward at different times. And each archetype has its own strengths. Even the ones that seem the weakest, like if you think of an archetype of a child, no, we don't typically think of a child as having incredible strengths, but the pure innocence there is really riveting. And the truth that they tell is really arresting. And so with my clients, we kind of, if they're struggling with their leadership, that's one thing we talk through is who is your persona on the stage? What archetypes are you bringing forward? One client, it was in a workshop with me. He isn't loud. He isn't fast. And he was feeling some guilt and shame about that. And I said, look, you're emanating like the Buddha up there. Mm-hmm. Like, let us revel in that. Bring that. Oh my gosh. Like this beautiful, soft, welcoming, inviting, happy that you are embodying up there. Like that is what you are leading towards. And he's a financial advisor. And really it's that calm, peaceful stability that he wants to lead people towards and that he was emanating from the stage. So that's what his leadership looked like. So on that sense, no, there isn't a common denominator that I can point to somebody and say, okay, you need this one element. This is what it will look like. But to go back, I'll also say, yes, the one common denominator a little bit is an internal locus of control. Mm-hmm. Feel like they are the ones that are charting their path forward. Mm-hmm. That the world isn't happening to them. They are happening to the world.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I can see that there is some component there, but that doesn't mean people don't have it. It just means some haven't identified it. You know, and sometimes with the channels that, you know, whatever channels the person goes through kind of awakens those in different stages, you know, for them to come around. And at the point where they would work with you, then they would have been awoken to the fact that they are in that realm. Now they just need to have some perfection added around that, you know, to get to the point that they're looking for. So I can see where it would be both, definitely. Where do you perceive your business going? Where are you looking? I mean, what does that entrepreneurial growth look like for you?
That's a fun question. So we're just playing here, right? This is if I could wave my magic wand, right?
How about we're putting it out in the universe? So
we're putting it out in the universe. What I see, where I'd like to see Master Speaker Lab go is it become the place for people to learn how to speak and also learn how to teach others to speak. Like if we're really going to Chris Anderson, who is the head of TED, at the end of his, he wrote a book on how on TED Talks, how like their definitive guide to public speaking. That's not a direct quote, but and in his last chapter, he talks about how public speaking isn't a skill we can afford not to have. It's something kids need to be practicing now. Most people that I talk to, they might have taken a public speaking course in college years, decades ago. They might have dropped into a Toastmasters group, but something is, or maybe it wasn't a match for them. Maybe it was. Maybe they grew a lot from it. But having this higher skill, these sensitivity to who people are and the authenticity to be who they are now on the stage with high skill, that is, there's such a large need for it that not only do people need to learn it, I need to learn how to teach people how to teach it. And so Master Speaker Lab eventually will be a place that will teach coaches as well, because there's a lot of public speakers out there, mm-hmm. but it's different being able to speak and being able to teach how to speak. It's the same in the music world. Some people can perform and some people can teach. Some people can do both, but learning how to teach how to speak is something I would really love to grow into out there in the world.
How important is it for entrepreneurs in general to understand speaking? because the message comes through on the speaking anyways. And you learn how to kind of hone in on that to a degree. Even if they don't plan to, which is a common thought that speaking, you know, doing any sort of speaking course or speaking coach or, you know, any of those things means that they have a desire to do conferences, keynotes, seminars. What if they don't have any desire to do that, but yet they need to be able to have it for branding purposes, for marketing purposes, for how they attract their ideal client? How does that play into, you know, their need for their business, even if they have no desire to step onto a stage?
I've met people like that. I was part of an organization for years where the leader did an incredible job of building the business, very successful, international, sustainable through many decades, but she essentially refused to speak. She never, ever, ever spoke. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the business came to a standstill. It was sustainable at the level it was, but it could not grow any further because there wasn't the confidence, the leadership, the vision, the confidence to share the vision. She didn't have any of those. And so I think if an entrepreneur is like, yeah, I'm just going to do my thing and just not do the speaking part, good luck. I understand
that's sure, sure.
A huge fear. I didn't plan on speaking. And what I see in my clients is it is integral to your business, whether you like it or not. If you want to grow, speaking is a part of it. And it could look like a lot of different things. It could look like standing on a stage and giving a keynote. It could look like just giving a presentation. It could look like that really key conversation with an important contact. But being comfortable with speaking, understanding how your speaking is landing with people, mm-hmm. really important. Because with speaking, there's a illusion that something's working. Like I've seen speakers on the stage before, and I've experienced this both as a speaker and in the audience member, where the audience is paying attention. The audience is watching them. But what is really sticking? Mm. What is the audience going to remember? What is the audience taking away? And to understand that, that takes practice, that takes preparation, that takes skill.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you about an introvert then, because that's a stretch for introverts. And there are plenty of introvert business owners.
Oh, let me tell you, White Dev, the reason we are talking today is because I set aside my many hours today and yesterday to not speak to people at all. Like that is how I do this, is if on my calendar I can see, all right, these are the hours that I've got of like zero contact with other humans. I totally get that. So yeah, we're talking to one. And so I think there's different facets of being an introvert. The way that I'm an introvert is if I don't get those hours of solitude, mm-hmm. I can't think, I can't function. I get really grumpy and, just cannot go forward. For some people, their introversion, it manifests as an anxiety of being around people. Mm-hmm. And so I think of those as two different things, which need to be addressed in two different ways. Mm. The anxiety is its whole own thing, which takes time and practice and usually some support and outside help to get you, crack you through that mindset, which I've, is so beautiful when I've seen clients go through that. And the rest of us who don't feel the anxiety, but just have I have to say, for me, White Dove, this is like one of the biggest, stress point is a little bit too big of a word, but it is one of the major factors of how I decide my week is how do I balance this need for absolute quiet with the energy that I need when I show up with people. There's a bit of an answer for you.
you know, and speaking from experience, I will say this right now that I have pondered it many times, but I don't know if it's because I've gotten, you know, as I've gotten older, or if maybe I just miscalculated my, you know, what I do, but I've always been an extrovert. I've always enjoyed being around people. However, I do also need my quiet time. If I go to a conference for 3 days, I block the next 3 days off. People are not going to have opportunities to meet with me, to interview, to have conversations, because I just need to decompress, you know? And so I've never considered myself an introvert. I can, you know, when I have spoken on stage myself, I need some downtime after that as well, you know? So, you know, maybe I'm an ambivert, you know, maybe a person to an ambivert. I don't know, but I enjoy being around people. But there is a space and time where I need that downtime, you know.
Yeah.
Not even just with my family, just my own me time. I'm like, happy kid. Well, yes, thank you, because then I can, now I have my decompression time. But it's nice to, partially for reflecting, but also partially just to kind of just calm my whole self down.
Yeah.
Kind of come down, because that's a major rush. Anytime you do something, you know, that makes an impact, even if you're just simply being with people, in a high energy room, you have to come down from that.
Yeah.
Even the most extrovert of us take some introverted time.
Yeah. I've heard Tim Ferriss talk about that, not so much in terms of introvert and extrovert, but as creative output and recuperation afterwards. He experiences it as, he struggles with depression, and after huge creative outburst, he knows, okay, this is, his body's like, you will now be quiet. He's like, got it. This is what's happening. So especially at those conferences, there's so much creation going on.
Oh my gosh, your head's going a million miles a minute. They're fun. But by that last day, you're just like, whoo.
Ooh, yeah. Creation takes energy. Creation takes all your whole system, and taking time to reintegrate afterwards, I think that's smart for everybody.
One last question for you. So is it highly advised, not just because you do this, but is it highly advised for entrepreneurs to find some sort of speaking outlet and at least test the waters with it, whether they go as a guest on a podcast and they've never done that before, or they get an opportunity to speak to a small room of people, you know, should they find those outlets and take that leap of faith and stick their foot out there and just start somewhere? Because a lot of times they don't know that they need you until get out there and they're like, okay, I think I can do this. And then all of a sudden they're like, but wait a minute, I need a little bit of work here. You know, I need something.
Right.
But for them to not feel like they have to have it perfected or even halfway down that road in order to stick themselves out there, online or offline in some capacity, or even joining a network group where they have to talk about their business for a few minutes, you know, mm-hmm. or Toastmasters. I mean, there's many different ways that they could do that, but having to get out of their own head and put that forward. I mean, wouldn't you encourage that? I mean, encourage that step.
Yeah. I think you're pointing to all of it, how it's so, there's so many benefits besides just the audience that you're speaking to. When someone gets out there and speaks, it's a tough internal journey just to get there. And there's things everybody's going to learn just from that process. And also I loved what you pointed to, that getting out and speaking, even if it's not done, even if it's not perfect, one belief I have is no talk is ever finished.
Nice.
And I was just this morning with a client, and we've been working like 2 months on a talk, and it's gone through. There's so many points along the way where like, oh, this is it. And then she'll come back a week later. She's like, oh my gosh, I have this totally different angle. This is so much more. And it's just gotten truer and truer as it's gone on. And so don't be afraid of the journey. The audience is with you. I've seen very fair, the vast majority of the rooms that anyone is going to get in front of, they're on your side. They want you to win. Humans are love humans.
Yep.
Get up there, tell some stories, capture the audience, know what message you want to leave with them, and you will grow and your business will grow.
Well, I think that's a perfect one to leave it on. With so many more questions, because you know it's fascinating to me, you know, the whole speaking room and yeah. You know, that's what I'm walking into myself, but
yeah,
but that journey, you know, tapping into my own journey inside of that, knowing that, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just gonna say yes. Just gonna right. Go forward and do it, you know, and then look back and think like, holy moly, that was kind of, you know, well, shoot, but nobody would have known. I'm critiquing myself more than anybody else. So,
right. Every single time you get out there, I've heard there's a talk you prepared, the talk you give, and the talk you wish you'd given. And those are three different things.
Yes, they totally are. All right, Margaret, I want to thank you for coming on today. And how can people find you? Because I know that there's going to be questions. I am not the speaker guru. So I want to make sure that when they have questions that they can find you. Tell us how.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to say. So easiest, fastest is no matter where you are, you can go to my website, margaretwattsromney.com. And there's links all over the place there to sign up for a 20-minute free consultation. I'll give anybody 20 minutes. And also, there's online courses at masterspeakerlab.com. And if you happen to be in the Boulder, Denver area, then I have every other month, I have a free 2-hour workshop on speaking fundamentals.
So there's many opportunities for people to even just step their toes in the water.
Exactly. Don't be afraid. I don't bite too hard.
No, all with love. All with love.
All with love. Love bites.
All right, Margaret, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you, White Dove.
You bet. And if anybody has any questions, do feel free to reach out. If you happen to come my direction reaching out, I will definitely point you in Margaret's direction. So thank you guys for listening to the podcast today. And as always, keep moving forward. Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.